Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is an awesome opportunity for me. I graduated from this place 40 years ago, and I sat down in those pews last night, and they are just as soft today as they were 40 years ago. I thank God for you, for those of you who teach, for those of you who help others prepare. And I certainly thank God for those of you who are preparing for ministry, deaconess work, just ministry. I wish I could be back here. I wish I could come back and sit with you and learn with you, because of all the things that God has in front of you, all the opportunities that God is going to give you to do ministry, all of the experiences you're going to have of simply seeing God work in and through your life. Because God uses ordinary people in ordinary situations to do extraordinary things. You know, sometimes we think it's us. Sometimes when we get involved in ministry, we think that well, I could do this. But it's when we realize that it's not us and that it's God working through us, that's when ministry really happens. You know, I was reminded of this. We flew from Seattle to Chicago yesterday, and I can remember a flight not too many years earlier, and my wife and I were flying to Chicago to interview people for a position on our staff. When we got onto the airplane, well, maybe I should tell you, my wife is a flight attendant, or was a flight attendant then, and so we got a pass, and so we, once in a while, the miracle would happen that we didn't even fly coach. We'd get bumped up to first class, but we get the last seats, and so that day it happened. We were moved into first class, and we couldn't sit together. We sat across the aisle from one another, and we settled in. The woman beside me on my left was kind of puffing her pillow up just to go to sleep. I pulled out a book on hiring excellence and just wanted to review that, and I was looking through that. And the woman looked up from her pillow and said, are you in HR? I remembered I had a ring on my finger that had a cross on it, and I was immediately thinking, holy roller, you know, and, you know. And I paused long enough. She said, no, are you in human resources? And I said, no, I'm just going to interview somebody in Chicago. And she said, well, how would you like to learn a better way to interview? And I said, I guess so. I said, what's your experience? Well, she said, I just retired from Microsoft after 16 years in human resources, and I'm going to write a book on behavioral interviewing. And she says, I'll teach you. She says, in fact, what I'll do is I'll interview you, and then you can learn how to do this. I said, that's great. So she started out, and basically she said, tell me three stories about your childhood. I did that. And tell me three stories about your adolescent life. I did that. High school life, did that. College life, did that. And kind of ended it with, I came to the senior college here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When I graduated here, I went to the seminary. And she said, oh, wait a minute. She said, I absolutely despise the organized church. I said, well, we're not that organized. You may not mind us, you know. And she said, no, I'm serious. And I said, well, tell me about the organized church. Because I said, I don't get people like you to be that honest with me very often. So for the next 45 minutes, she told me what was wrong with the organized church. And I listened at the end. I said, you know, the majority that you just told me, I would agree with. And that moved us into a dialogue of the church and how the church functioned, why I was in the church, all of this stuff. We talked all the way to Chicago. In fact, a flight attendant came to my wife at one point and said, aren't you married to that guy, you know, across the aisle? She was reading the book that I had been before. But this woman that I was talking to at the end of the trip, she said, you know what, I want to talk to you some more. So we exchanged phone numbers, and she was going on a 3-month vacation when she came back. She lived about 50 miles from us. And when we got back, I called her and we talked some more. And she said, you know what, I'd really like to help you with management in your church. And I said, Janie, you know, if you were to do that, I think you need to understand why we do what we do. I said, in fact, would you come and take a course that's called Life with God? It's the basic teachings of Christianity, but it also tells you why we are, how we function as a church. And I said, if you did that, then you would understand where we're coming from. So she agreed. So for the next 12 weeks, she came, drove the 50 miles to our church and took the course and went through the course. And in one part of the course, I used this illustration of Blondin. I don't know if you know the story of him walking Niagara Falls, over Niagara Falls with it on a tightrope. And I told that story, and apparently he would go over with a wheelbarrow asking people, do you believe I can do that? And everybody said yes. And then he said, do you believe I can push the wheelbarrow over Niagara Falls on this tightrope with a person in it? And everybody said, I believe, and Blondin's response is, get in, you know. That week she came to the church on Thursday, and she said, I want to tell you that I'm in the wheelbarrow. And that was the beginning of a journey that she has done tremendous ministry through our church. Now she's married to a pastor down in Reno, Nevada. She lives down there and works with him. You see, God in ordinary situations with ordinary people. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not an extrovert. And yet, in that setting, God was able to do something. A man comes to Jesus, and he comes to Jesus like the typical man on the street. He says, what must I do? You know, and he looks at life from a whole materialistic standpoint. And Jesus reaches out to him. Jesus loves him. Jesus cares enough for him. And, you know, sometimes, I think Jesus tells this story to realize that sometimes we see the results and sometimes we don't. But every time we bring somebody in contact with Jesus Christ, God works. And when God works, lives change. You see, the ministry that you're going into is going into it as an ordinary person without the capability within yourself, but simply to be a person of God where God can use you. And there's urgency in that. There's urgency in what God calls us to. Because Jesus wasn't kidding when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except by me. That may be one of the most challenged things in our society today. And that's the urgency. And I guess maybe the responsibility that you and I have is we know the way. We know Christ. As Lutherans, we have the best exposition of the gospel, and that gives us responsibility to be sharing that with whoever and whenever we can. But it's also the privilege, because it's the privilege that you and I have to stand in the stead of Christ and say to somebody, come, follow Christ with me, because the invitation is still there. And it's, don't wait till you graduate, but it's, who do you know now that doesn't know Christ? It's maybe not even going off campus. I say this from going through the entire system. One of my roommates is not a Christian today. And I think back and say, did I ever really share my faith with him? You see, it's Jesus Christ who wants to work in and through every one of our lives. And all the opportunities that he holds before us, all the experiences that he wants to give us, are the most precious that come when we simply go to others and we give them that invitation that Christ gave. Come follow Jesus Christ with me.